afternoon today all the way through Tuesday night. We have 70 right now in downtown Butler. Again, your high will be at about 73. Your weather being brought to you by Ponderosa Steakhouse.
Start your Sunday mornings off right. Ponderosa Steakhouse offers a delicious breakfast buffet every Sunday from 8 to 11 a.m. Just $6.99 a person for a breakfast buffet that will satisfy every family member, even grandma. That's Ponderosa's Sunday breakfast buffet.
Your news time is just about 12:20. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Tier Bank studios. Next Tier Bank, your hometown community bank. Dave Malarkey's up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks so much for joining us and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn. Where did the weekend go, huh? They zoomed by. Can you believe it's June 17th already? My goodness. Into the second half of June. Good program for you today. We're going to be talking about an award, an honor that's coming up in just a moment. And still later on the program, the Cruiserpalooza is back. It's just around the corner, as a matter of fact. And it's the 25th anniversary of this event on Main Street downtown. So we'll have more details about that a little bit later. But first, we welcome John Righetti from the community, the Gene B. Purvis Community Health Center here in Butler, and Dr. Nick Newpower, the president of Butler County Community College. Gentlemen, nice to have you here.
Always nice to be here.
Yes. John, what's the occasion?
Well, it's actually a pretty prominent occasion for Butler County. It's the Community Cornerstone Award event, which mm-hmm. is going to happen this Friday, June the 21st, at Butler Country Club. And each year, we at the Community Health Center sit down, we have criteria, and look to see to whom should we give this award. And the primary criteria is that you have to be somebody who has contributed significantly to the Butler County community. So while obviously if you're in healthcare and do that, that's a plus, but healthcare participation is not an absolute criteria, though all of our participants to this point have. Not necessarily working in healthcare, but maybe on boards of healthcare institutions or fundraising for healthcare organizations. But you have to contribute in significant ways to the betterment of Butler County. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to say everybody that we've selected so far has been more than worthy of this award.
And this year's honoree is?
Dr. Nicholas Newpower from BC3.
Yes. Well, Dr. Newpower, congratulations. A very prestigious award.
Thank you. I'm absolutely honored to be receiving it this Friday.
And that will be quite an event this Friday, right, John?
It will be. We started the event 4 years ago by just giving the an award to Jean Purvis for all of her efforts in terms of starting the clinic and the fundraising. And from there, the clinic staff and leadership and board looked at it and said, you know, this has real potential for growth, both as a way to recognize people within the community and as a fundraising event for the clinic. Mm-hmm. So after that, then the first award was given to Dr. John Reifer, the second one to Larry Berg.
Former colleague here,
and now Dr. Newpower. All of them really following in Gene's footsteps in terms of the level of commitment to community, and people who just don't talk it but live it, who put everything they mean about community their passion for community, they put it into action. So the event will be quite an event. We are going to have more than 150 people attending. Though tickets are still available, but you have to be really nice to me and call me to get them. The event starts at 6 p.m. At 7, we have excellent dinner at the Butler Country Club. They always do a beautiful job for us. And then a brief program where individuals, again, pretty prominent in Butler, who know Dr. Neupower, will share their thoughts about him and his contributions, and then he will be presented with the award.
I hope this is not going to be a roast type of thing. You know, that would make you a little bit nervous there.
Yeah. You know, with Nick, that's a little tempting. But no, it's not. It's always going to be above board. Mm-hmm.
You're familiar, of course, Dr. Neupower, with the Community Health Center. What a wonderful place, huh?
Yes, and for a while, I think it was for about several years, shortly after the Purvis Health Center started. Of course, it didn't have Gene's name attached back then. I sat on the board, and really a board of great prominent people who give back a great deal to the community. And of course, Gene's history in Butler County, this area, is it's impeccable, which dates back to the VNA and the creation of the VNA many, many years ago. A lot of time spent on our foundation board. And that's one of many reasons why I'm honored, is the fact that this award has Gene's name attached.
A Renaissance woman, Gene Purvis, no question about it. I did not get to know her until actually she was doing community relations and public relations work for, at that time, Bert Hill Kosar Riddleman Associates, now Stantec. But she had done an awful lot before that. That's just when I got to know her.
You know, Gene, I think a part of Gene's success, Gene and I are good friends, and I think it's because we have the same philosophy in life, which is ask forgiveness, not permission. And I think that always kept her. But, you know, Gene's like, if it needs to be done, then I'll go do it.
Yeah.
You know? And I just, you know, when you think about what she did, in terms of establishing this clinic, and Nick, in the early days on being on the board, he can talk to you about it. I mean, people in Butler have no clue how distinct this is.
Yeah.
There is no other clinic like this anywhere in western Pennsylvania. The next is Erie in the northwest part of the country, and State College. But in the counties that surround Pittsburgh, there's nothing. There's nothing like this.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we've even extended kind of our boundaries. And when people from Armstrong County or Mercer County have a problem, if we can service them, mm-hmm. we will. But to have a concept where all of the clinical providers, you know, all the nurses, all the pharmacists, all the doctors, all the dentists who are providing service are volunteers. They get paid nothing to do this. They're the same. And, you know, when you talk about quality, I mean, you're going to get the same quality as everybody else in Butler because they're the doctors, nurses, dentists who are serving Butler County. But to develop that kind of concept and then to load it with an incredible amount of community volunteers. And people know, when I first came to Butler almost 40 years ago, for 40 years I've been singing Butler's praise about its ability to solve problems and the way people volunteer here. Because it's just, I mean, I've worked all over western Pennsylvania. It is not the same. It is not the same in Pittsburgh or McKeesport or Washington or Uniontown. This is an entirely different concept here. But, you know, when I got to the clinic and started to work as their director of development, I said, give me a list of the people from the community who volunteer. Some of these are volunteer nurses. You know, some of these are people on the administrative side who are doing paperwork for us, inputting medical records, doing intake. I was astounded when they put that sheet of paper on my desk and there were 88 names on that list. I mean, the 88 people, you know, who for some time, you know, quite regularly, and we have people, we have several people every year who join that staff, 88 people who care enough about the disenfranchised in Butler County to say, I'm going to give a piece of my life to this.
As I recall talking to Gene Purvis many, many years ago, she bumped into this concept. She was in South Carolina.
She was on vacation in Hilton Head.
Yeah.
And bumped into someone who made her aware of the clinic. And so she went and visited, was absolutely astounded that such a thing existed. met with the doctor who founded that clinic, and who has since then created an organization called Volunteers in Medicine, or VIM. And so there are these clinics around the country, and you elect to be a VIM clinic. So we're the VIM clinic for Butler County. And when you do that, there's certain criteria you have to meet, the first criteria of which is you cannot charge your patients for anything. So, you know, right then and there, that starts to create an issue, because if you look at raising money for the clinic to keep it going, you don't charge your patients, so no bills go out, which is one of, in healthcare, a standard revenue stream, right? You know, there is only one source of funding, and that's to raise it. Our annual budget is almost $500,000 a year, and we raise every single penny of that to keep that clinic open. And we can do it in a community like Butler County, where both the businesses and individuals step up to the plate and say, yes, I want to make sure this succeeds.
And I'd like to echo something that John said there.
Sure.
Maybe it's taken for granted because we reside, work, live, and play in Butler County. And it's John's point as to how special Butler County is. We have the Purvis Health Center. We have a college. We have a university. We have excellent public and private institutions. We have Butler Health Systems. We have a group of county commissioners that are absolutely second to none. And in my time at the college, which dates back a ways, even before becoming president, I started the college in 99. And as time went on and the members of the Phillips family would pass away, especially Mary Phillips, Bill Morgan would pass away, the Shapiros, Sue Bennett, Mr. Steffler even recently, there's always been this talk at the different meetings, who will be the next generation of those who provide resources and time. And as time has marched on, Butler County has never lost that key variable, as evidenced by the great success that we've had in terms of fundraising, with what John said about the Purvis Health Center living on and on. And again, I do believe perhaps that some people take it for granted just how well we have it here in Butler County. One of the few counties, I think perhaps the only county in the area that is growing in population, mm-hmm. the lowest taxes. There's a lot going on in Butler County that is incredible, and I think that this Purvis Health Center speaks to that.
Getting back to Jean Purvis, when she kind of bumped into this almost accidentally in South Carolina, that's nice, that's serendipity, but then to say, okay, let's do this back home,
Yeah. That's
pretty amazing.
Yep.
That's a pretty bold step.
And I can tell you, I had the privilege of being a part of that story, because the first place Gene showed up with this idea was in my office when I was working at Butler Health System. Mm-hmm. And wanted to kind of peel back, understand the whole issue of why aren't these people covered by insurance, you know, and what kinds of things are needed. And she and I and Dr. Tom McGill and Dr. Bob McKee, now deceased, took a field trip to Erie, where the VIM clinic already existed. And there was a very strong emphasis there on dental care, but we wanted to see how does it work in a northern context, in an industrial context. Mm-hmm. You know, Hilton Head, one of the things about Hilton Head is there's no shortage of retired physicians.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But could you pull it off in Butler, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. where, with all due respect to our physicians, a lot of them who retire don't stay here, you know, and the answer is yes, because what we found in Butler, Pennsylvania was that we didn't have to wait for retired physicians, was that active physicians and active dentists said, I'll give you an afternoon a month, or I'll give you two mornings a week. And that bespeaks the point Nick and I are both kind of driving home, that Butler is a different place. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not so sure that if Hilton Head had to rely on active physicians, they could have pulled it off, you know, the way that Butler could. And so, you know, it came alive. And one of the things I said to Gene right up front was, I said, listen, if you're going to do this, I said, one of the things you have to understand is you have to provide dental care. And one of the reasons you have to do that, and people don't realize that so much of your physical health is tied to your dental health. I mean, you know, you don't take care of your teeth, you got high blood pressure, you got heart problems. I mean, these are all kinds of internal infections. These are all things that become a part of your physical. well-being. And, you know, to her credit, she was really smart in the way she did it. They opened the clinic in 2008, and so she got it up and running with primary care, and then she added dental to it 2 years later. You know, so they had the time to get their feet on the ground, set up systems and what have you. But now our dental practice is every bit as active as our primary care practice. And one of the other things people, you know, when you think about dental, what's different about that is if we didn't exist to come to for medical care, then you have another option, which is the hospital emergency room. Albeit it's expensive, it's episodic, it's taking care of what's wrong with you right there. They're not the manager of your health care like a PCP would be. But if you're a dental, you're a dental patient with a problem, you have nowhere to turn. If you're in horrible pain with an abscess and you go to a hospital emergency room can provide you pain meds, but they can't extract your teeth. Mm-hmm. They can't provide there's no dentists. They can't provide dental care. So it's basically just send you home and deal with it. So that dental piece has become so attractive that one of the other things we started last year and is growing like you can't imagine is that many people do not understand. See, we think whenever government programs are provided in the United States that it just like kind of covers everything. And there are always those pools of people that fall through the cracks that don't get covered. So people don't understand that veterans who have VA benefits and can go to the Veterans Hospital for all their clinical care may have no dental insurance, and the government doesn't provide for that. So we now have a special program where we provide dental to uninsured veterans as well.
Yeah, you talk about falling through the cracks. That's really what the Purvis Community Health Center, that's who they serve. I mean, there are obviously people who have their own health insurance, the vast majority of them here in the United States through their place of employment, they're covered. Kids covered under the CHIP program, seniors with Medicare, but that leaves people in the middle who many of them may be working, but working at places that don't offer health insurance.
And we see that more and more. You know, some of our early patients and some of them we still see were people who were in good paying jobs with employers who provided health insurance. That job went away in some way, shape, or form. And now here they are 10 years later working 2 and 3 part-time jobs to make ends meet. Most of them in a hospitality industry or service industry who, by and large, which doesn't offer health insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, and then there are people who get, like you said, fall through the cracks, just get caught in the middle. I'll never forget, we've had a couple of them now, women who were full-time homemakers, whose husbands worked for a business that had health insurance. The husband died unexpectedly. And you know what that leaves her with? No health insurance. And she's been a homemaker for 30 years. What are her skills to go out into the workforce and get a job that has health insurance? Mm-hmm. So there are lots of ways you can become any of us could potentially be a patient in that clinic tomorrow. Any of us.
I just think it's a good idea to point that out because some folks still have a misconception that, we're talking about serving people who are on public assistance. That's not the case. They have
health insurance, so they can get the services.
Health card, yeah.
So we don't take those people, you know. The other thing that people don't think about is, excuse me, through the marketplace, there's low income prices for health insurance. So you say, well, everybody can kind of get it. Well, that's not the case because the federal government has guidelines, but the federal government doesn't know what's going on in your house and do you have a sick child that you're paying for medicines for, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So some simply can't afford it. Others buy it, and that they buy something on the marketplace, get out there, and can't find a physician who will accept it. Mm. So you can come to us through various veins, and for us, the most important part is that you get to us.
Dr. Neupower, I did not realize that you at one point had served on the board of the Purvis Community Health Center.
Yes, I would say, looking back on my career as president, which dates back to 2007, and this was intentional. It's about giving back to the community. Also, at that point, becoming a known commodity within the community, and Gene offered me the opportunity to serve on that board. But there were a lot of local boards, local activities and organizations that I participated That would have been the PM Rotary. There were a couple of there was a heart walk, some other walks that my wife, children, and I were the chairs, co-chairs, what have you for. Been on the CDC board for a while. At that point, I was also the president of the chamber and on Stan's board for a while. And as we began to expand, not just in Butler, but of course the various different counties, then my board role, board capacity would be more regional. And you may recall that I had the statewide position of board chair of the community colleges. But it was very important that I understand the community in our own backyard, and serving on this particular board was very important along those lines.
It's amazing, isn't it, John, when you look at, you know, some people say, well, I could get involved on it. I just don't have time. You know, we have somebody like the president of the school who people make time.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen to that list. I mean, you know, there's in almost every aspect of Butler County life, Nick was playing some role. And he did that at the same time he was growing our community college like nobody else in the state of Pennsylvania has done.
Thank you for that.
Well, thus a very appropriate honoree this year. I hearken back to the when you were talking about this, Nick, and also John, about how people in Butler tend to get things done whenever they need to get done. And with reference to health care, that's the way that what we now know as Butler Memorial Hospital got started. If I remember correctly, there were, you know, we had steel industry, we had heavy industry here, and no hospital back in the early 1900s. And a group of women, got together and said, let's start a hospital. And they did.
Mm-hmm. It was unlike anything Western Pennsylvania had ever seen. And in fact, when we talk about Jean and her contributions, when the hospital was 100 years old, I engaged Jean to write the history of medicine in Butler County. Wow. So she did all the research, found out that 6 months before the women got together, a group of male business people assembled to say, we need some kind of healthcare facility in this community. And they kind of chewed on it for 6 months. And at that point, the women turned to them, remember, it's only 1898, and said, may we take this over?
Wow.
And they did. And those women ran with it. And it was, so one, it was entirely women dominated, which in 1898 is unheard of. Mm-hmm. But two, at the time, the way those women set it up was there were two representatives to that committee from every religious congregation in Butler County. Mm-hmm. So that you had both female-led and ecumenical, two things that were just never a standard 120 years ago.
Yeah.
But you're right, it was the Butler people. The first two patients, and part of the reason what drove that was the first two patients were patients from out in the oil fields in the northeast part of the county, who were single men, one from Kentucky and one from Ohio. And that was their concern, was that because of work here, just like now we have with gas and shale, mm-hmm. a lot of people were coming from outside to this community. And if they got injured, there was nobody to take care of them. You know, so right there, so in 1898, those women stepped up. And all the way to 2008, Jean Purvis stepped up. And I suspect it's going to keep happening in Butler.
Can you imagine? No hospital? Unless you got to Pittsburgh. And
yep.
That was even before cars back in those days.
Yeah. They used to have to put them on a cart and take them down old Route 8. It took 2.5 hours to get to Pittsburgh from Butler.
Mm. By the way, that original hospital building is still there. It's not a healthcare facility anymore, but it's that big gargantuan yellow building at the end of South Main Street.
That's right.
Downtown. Nick, you may not know this. I'm sure you do, since you know Jean. Also an author. She wrote, along with Steve Kozar, a book called The Pictorial History of Butler. Have you ever seen it?
I was unaware of that, actually.
It is a fabulous book.
It is.
In fact, I've told this story before. I'm on my second copy. I literally wore it out.
Wow.
First, mainly from showing it to people and loaning it to people and so on and so forth. It's wonderful. Hundreds and hundreds of pictures, and not just of the city, but of outlying towns, you know, Evan City, Bruin. Old photographs, picture of Greece City, when it was the oil capital of Butler County. There were derricks in everybody's backyard. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. Well, I will loan you my second copy if you promise to take care of it. No, it's still an excellent book. Excellent. Well, congratulations, Dr. Nick Neupower. This is a great honor, and we do want to make sure that people know this is also this dinner's a fundraiser for the health center, and tickets are still available, John.
Right? Tickets are available. You can contact me at the Community Health Center. The phone number there is 724-841-0980, and just ask for me, and I'll be able to get them to you in time. So we're looking for a few more people to join us, and it makes us a significant, generally makes us around $30,000, which is only a piece of $500,000, but a nice piece of $500,000. And we thank the community for that, and the businesses in the community for that kind of support.
In addition to being the director of development for the Purvis Community Health Center, John Rigetti is a resource person for Eastern Europe. In fact, we've called on him in past years with some questions about Eastern Europe and Carpetho Rouge. Am I right on that? My pronunciation is correct.
Got it.
Yeah. And you're leading a trip there. So,
yeah, right? Next Monday I'm going again. My 19th trip to Slovakia, Poland, and Ukraine.
My wife
used to say, she used to say to me, "I wish you knew the streets of Pittsburgh as well as you know the streets of Ushurod." But it's very interesting because it's a whole new generation of people who are going. And it's generally, it's always been people kind of like 50s to 70s, because the reality is if you're younger than that, you don't have the resources or the time to do that. But this group is a very highly educated 50-somethings, newly retired, some 40-somethings. In fact, I'm a little bit intimidated about it. Am I going to be able to sell it as readily as I was to some of the older generations? But it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be great to be back there. Do I have to tell you how much Eastern Europe has changed in 25 years? It's just absolutely incredible. I'm just thankful for the fact that now when I go, everybody has an indoor toilet.
Now, those countries, although it's different countries, Europe is much more compact than the United States. Going to another country in Europe is like going to Ohio.
It is.
Or West Virginia. So do you, once you fly there, do you travel by motor coach from country to country?
Yeah, by motor coach, And we cover the Carpathians and territories in southern Poland, eastern Slovakia, and western Ukraine, which is roughly the size of West Virginia.
Oh.
So, in 11 days, easy enough to kind of cover everything that you want to do.
Is that your ethnic heritage, John?
It is. It's my mother's ethnic heritage. So people always say to me, "Rigetti, how could you be?" Well, America is America, and we all have blended families. I was telling someone the other day, I have two grandchildren, and they have 11 different heritages within them, And so, people say, "Well, what are they?" And I say, "What a ridiculous question. They're Carpathians."
Well, if you sent into Ancestry.com for that DNA test, they'd go bonkers.
We'd make them crazy. We'd make them crazy. But, the other thing before we leave, I just want to take the opportunity to applaud Nick for is we haven't talked much about really what he has done for the college while he's here. And maybe, Nick, you can just give us a flash in the pan of, new campuses and awards and that kind of thing.
Well, we're certainly proud to be the community's college, and we think that resonates now more than ever before. And it's the community, the impact that we have on the communities we serve. So, of course, we have the campus on the Oak Hill, which started in September of 66, BC3 at Cranberry, which went through with a recent renovation on Executive Drive. And we are in Union Township in Lawrence County, Hermitage in Mercer County, Brockway in Jefferson County, and we are also in Ford City in Armstrong County. And we're proud to be a regional institution. In the early days of my presidency, that was quite controversial. But as time has moved forward and population has diminished some, particularly graduating high school seniors, it has served us incredibly well. Even though the Commonwealth views us as a regional institution, make no mistake about it, that we are Butler County's community college and incredibly proud to be so. And an award like this is not about Nick Neupower. It's about the Butler County Community College.
And named number one community college in the state for two years?
Actually, three. We've added a third, yeah.
Hard to keep track. Well, congratulations, Nick.
Thank you.
A great honor and well-deserved. And, John, good to see you, too. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you. We're looking forward to Friday. We're looking forward to, in a public way, recognizing Nick for what he's done, not only for us, but for this community.
Thank you, John.
And you can contact John if you want last-minute tickets for Friday's dinner and award ceremony. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Cruzapalooza. It's that time again. It's coming back. We'll have all the details for you in just a couple of minutes. More on It's Your Turn after this.
Thinking about remodeling or refinancing your home? ARMCO Credit Union's new HELOC combines the flexibility of a traditional home equity line of credit with the low fixed rate of a home equity loan. Lock in different amounts, rates, and terms up to 20 years under one convenient loan agreement and monthly payment without the hassle of reapplying as your borrowing needs change. It's never been easier to join, so call or visit us at one of our locations or online at armcocu.com to become a member. ARMCO Credit Union is an equal housing lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Mr. 60's here. This is dedicated to my buddies at Bros' Superette. For the best meats and cold cuts, you know where to go. Make sure you tell them Mr. 60 sent you. And don't forget to listen to me, the last hippie DJ of rock and roll, every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on your favorite hometown radio station, WISR.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program for a Monday, and we're going to be talking about the upcoming Cruzapalooza on the next segment of the program. Guests are with us here in the studio to talk about it. We say hello to Dan Cunningham once again. Dan, good to see you, as always.
As always is right, David. Thank you very much for having us in. We appreciate it.
Sure. Ed Schnoor is here. Ed, good to see you.
Good seeing you again.
And also Dave Landis. Dave, good to say hi to you again as well.
Thank you, sir.
Cruzapalooza. That means another year has gone by already, Dan.
Right. Doesn't it seem like it's pretty quick we're in here talking again about cars and summer and all that good stuff that goes with that? 25th anniversary of Cruzapalooza this year, downtown on Main Street, and we are just hoping that we have some really nice weather. We're loaded down there. The house is loaded this year, that's for sure, with a lot of things going on.
Well, that's Sunday the 23rd.
23rd, this coming Sunday.
That's this coming Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Can that be the 23rd of June already?
That would be.
Yes,
how about that?
Wow.
Already.
Well, we're due for some good weather, you know.
I agree, sir.
And for the next several days, it's supposed to rain, so the late Bob Prince used to call it the hidden vigorish.
Hidden vigorish.
You know, how yes. Can it keep raining too much longer?
Right. Well, I listened to your weather forecast before you went on with your first guest, and you said through Thursday, and then it's supposed to start breaking up a little. Is that right, sir?
I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Please do.
Yeah, I have heard through Thursday, and then hopefully a little bit later.
We'll see.
Trouble is, I never trust any forecast past 3 days.
You're a good man. Good man.
Dave Landis, I know you've been involved with the Cruzapalooza for a long time and with the sponsoring organization, the Rod Fathers, right?
That is correct, sir.
Yeah. Are you one of the founding members?
Not founding members. I come in right after the club was founded. This is my 25th year.
So the Rod Fathers is that old?
Yes, sir.
Were you a founding member, Dan?
No, far from it. I'm about 8 years in with the Rod Fathers. Ed has more time than I.
Ed, how long have you been involved with the Rock Farmers?
I've been here probably 13, 14 years now.
Mm-hmm. Anybody know who founded this? Was it a group of guys who said, let's do it?
Or? Some local guys. Dave, yes. You know them all. Go ahead.
This was a spinoff of Butler Area Street Machine. A group of guys didn't like how things were going, and that's what formed the Rod Fathers. That's how they came about.
Well, that happens. For example, the Musical Theater Guild of Butler was a spinoff from the Butler Little Theater.
Right.
They weren't displeased with how things were going. They just wanted to do musicals.
Only.
Yes. Yeah, and the little theater did plays and comedies. So, you know, they spun off and formed a separate group. So that's how the Rod Fathers came to be, huh?
Correct.
Yeah. Rod Fathers do a lot more than just show off their fancy vehicles, though.
Dan, they do indeed. They certainly do. The Rod Fathers are a charitable organization, to say the least. We put on Cruisapalooza, which is a very large cruise. That's our biggest one every year. But we normally sponsor or help work with probably 8 to 10 other cruises through the summer, helping raise money for the association that we're working with, or at the same time we try and raise money for ourselves that we, at the end of the year, we will donate to 8 different organizations within Butler County. We give the money back to charities that are worthy of getting it, and we're more than happy to do it. So that that keeps us pretty busy through the warm summer months and into fall. It's a pretty good spin for us. It really is, and it's worked out very well.
So there'll be live entertainment, I guess, again this coming Sunday as part of Cruisapalooza?
That is correct.
That's correct. Yeah. We will. We'll have 2 bands. We'll have one that goes on at 11 o'clock and another one goes on at 2. One is a local band created through Shady Lady and Mr. Utah. And then, of course, we also booked an oldies band called the Mansfield Five. We've had them a couple times over the years. They're a very good band, too. So we're going to have live entertainment. We're going to put 4 DJs out, right, guys?
Three.
Yeah, three DJs.
Where will the band be playing?
Up in front of the courthouse.
Okay.
In the square up there, so that we can draw some people right there to come in and see some live entertainment this year. We hadn't done that for a couple of years, but back downtown, 25th anniversary, we wanted to promote the cruise as much as we could and so on. So should work out fine for us.
Obviously, Main Street will be closed to vehicular traffic
on
Sunday afternoon.
Sunday morning, too? Yeah, starting at 10 o'clock, but they're going to close the street around 9:30, somewhere in that range. Close off Main Street. Anybody that has a vehicle down there needs to remove it, obviously, by the time 10 o'clock rolls around. And then we'll start bringing cars in. And they all seem to find different ways to get in there early, though, sometimes. They work at it.
Yep. Some people start putting their cars there the night before.
Now, can anybody with a vehicle that they've customized come and bring their car to be viewed?
Yep. Anyone that has a car wants to bring it in, you know, we don't discriminate. We let everyone come in and have a good time.
You don't need to pre-register or anything like that?
No, sir.
Just come downtown on Sunday, huh?
And it runs from Pearl down to Wayne Street.
Let me think for a second. Pearl down to
front Armstrong Building
down to Wayne.
Butler County Ford.
Well, that's pretty much the whole downtown.
The whole downtown this year.
Yeah.
Correct.
For people who have never been downtown to Cruisapalooza, you have no idea how big an event this is. I mean, the street is packed.
It packs them in, yes.
From one into another.
It certainly does. A lot of people like to come and see these cars and view the entertainment. And, of course, we have 2 big food arenas this year, too. One down across from the Burger Hut. That whole lot is going to be food and so on. And then up on the square at Diamond Park, there'll be food and entertainment up there also.
Well, you've really expanded then, because that's something right. new, too, to
have both
food at both ends of the street.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, because some of our cruiser people, you know, are getting up in age. So, you know, they'll haul the walk all the way uptown and then walk all the way back downtown. So we split it up.
You know, I was just talking to somebody about that a couple of weeks ago who said, you don't realize if you start down by Brady Street and walk up to the courthouse that you're going uphill the whole way.
And it's a walk.
Yeah. And you are, yeah. Yeah, it's several blocks and it's uphill. So it's a good idea. Yeah. Plus, you'll have activities. People will be buzzing both ends of the street then.
Yes, we have entertainment and DJs and different vendors and things going on all the way up and down Main Street. So it's a good day. It's a great day, and you can come out and spend spend a good bit of time there. And please, look at all the cars. It's amazing what comes in, Dave, as you well know. You've seen them. We get quite a variety come in for Cruisapalooza.
I usually, when I and walk up one side of the street, and then I turn around and walk down, because if I just go hodgepodge, I tend to miss things.
Well, you'd take a lot longer if you did it that way.
Yeah. it's good fun.
It is.
And by the way, stop and talk to people, right, Dave? I mean, people love to talk about their cars.
Oh, they have no trouble talking about their cars.
Mm-hmm. So you won't be interrupting.
No, not at all. They welcome you. But please don't touch.
That's right. Please don't touch.
Right.
No fingerprints, please. And that's everybody, adults and kids. We're not just talking about kids with Reese's Peanut Butter Cup on their fingertips.
Yeah,
anybody, don't touch.
Don't let your dogs too close.
right.
Yeah, these cars have been treated with tender, loving care for many, many years in restoration. In fact, some, I suppose it's a constant job, isn't it, to keep them up to snuff, Dave?
Constant maintenance and upkeep on them, correct.
Mm-hmm. Cruisapalooza this Sunday. Main Street in downtown Butler. You have a bunch of good sponsors this year.
We do. We have a good number of sponsors, as you can see from the front of the flyer there. And these are loyal sponsors that have been with us. Of course, obviously, we reach out to the Butler Radio Network every year, WISR. We'll have a tent set up there, and they do a Chinese auction, and they're doing some giveaways of different trips and things. And
yeah, we're
very
giving away tickets to
certainly thank you for that.
Amusement parks and so on. Yeah,
yeah, the whole deal there. And then Randy and Bob's has been a longtime sponsor, and they do some real good media promotion for us. Butler County Tourism is a major sponsor for us because we work with them on other events also, but they've been a really good sponsor. Deal Automotive Group is another one to mention. Armstrong, very good sponsor, great supporter of the Rodfathers for many years, and we appreciate all those. And certainly when they reach out to us, we in turn try and do something for them also. So works both ways.
Well, let's talk a little bit about cars. Ed Schnorr, how did you get involved in this? How did you start restoring vehicles?
I got started way back when my dad used to work on cars. You know, he had his own cars and worked on them, and he was never real shy about, you know, to anything. He'd work on anything. So that's who really started me on this journey, and just grew up doing, you know, turning bolts and working on the wrenches, and that's how I got started. Swear to my dad.
Sometimes that happens. It was a commercial, a TV commercial for an oil company a few years ago, where it was a dad changing the oil in his car, and he had a little 7 or 8 year old boy watching. You remember that, Dave?
I do. I remember the commercial.
And I forget.
It rolls on later on, and they're at a car cruise, and they're looking at cars.
Yeah.
And, look what Dad taught me.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
You noticed it was a Mustang.
I know it was a Mustang. Was I allowed to bring that up, boys?
Yeah. Yeah, you see, I just work on that Mustang.
We have a couple of Chevy promoters in here, and I'm a lone Ford guy in here. So.
Well, what you have one vehicle or more than one that you've restored?
I have one I got done. I have a 57 Chevy at Bel Air, and now I'm in the process of building a 56 Chevy pickup truck. So it's all
56, 57. Now, these two guys know that my knowledge is limited here, but that was the year of the Finns, right? They started to come on in 56, and by 57, they were
57
full-grown Finns, right?
By 57, the Finns are straight up and down.
They grew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They grew pretty fast.
Yes, they did.
So
there was actually, when I was going to high school, one of the... I don't know. I guess it was a classmate of mine or something. His dad had a 57 Chevy sedan, four-door, I'm not sure which. But the thing that I remember about it more than anything else was where you got into the gas tank. And it was through a taillight, believe it or not.
Oh, the pop down. Yeah. Wasn't that the 56?
Mine, there's a piece of chrome comes down and you open it up.
Oh, 57 had it also.
Yeah, but there was like a little knob or something that you turned on the taillight and the thing flipped out, and that's
right.
Where the gas tank
was.
That
was 56.
56.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of people ask me how I do put the fuel in a car, so then I let them walk around and try to figure out, and they try to pull my license plates on a trunk lid, and And then after I show them, they're like totally amazed where it is.
That's right. There's no gas cap on this thing.
How does it run?
Did you pick up these cars by accident, Ed? Or?
Oh, the 57 Chevy Bel Air was a life car of a dream of mine. And one of my cousins knew where it was, and I went and I purchased it after that. It was a local car originally from down in Texas. And so after that, I just, you know, recreated it.
Was that the top-of-the-line Chevy at that time, or was it kind of a mid-sized job? Does anybody know?
That was pretty much the top-of-the-line.
Yeah, it certainly was.
Yeah, it had, they come with, you get air conditioner in those, and, you know, if you wanted to, and different, you know, they would have the Bel Airs had more chrome you could get on at the time, too. There was the special packages you can get.
So that was before they split off, and then Chevy came up with the Impala and the Malibu. The Impala was kind of their top of the line. The Malibu was kind of the mid-sized thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where did the Chevy Corvair come along?
I mean, Corvair came in...
63, right.
First year.
So that'd be one for Dave.
With the rear engine.
Correct. Yeah, rear engine.
A car with a rather checkered history,
that's
by the
one
way.
That, who was the guy, the the environmentalist and so on?
Ralph Nader.
Yes. Yeah, Ralph Nader went after that Corvette, Corvair, big time.
Claimed it was a dangerous vehicle.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't want that car around.
No, I actually rode in one once and survived.
Sure. Well, sure you would. Yeah.
Those things are scary just from getting in them.
Yeah. Well, they used to call it the American VW.
It was a small vehicle.
Yes, very small rear engine.
Correct. Yeah, and rear engine was the thing because Volkswagen at that time were rear engine.
Right, I had one of those. Yeah.
Correct.
And air-cooled at air-cooled. That time.
Air-cooled, absolutely.
No radiator.
No.
Listen to me. I actually sound like I might know what I'm talking about, and I guarantee you it's not true.
Come on now.
It's not true, no.
How many times have we been coming in here talking about cars?
I know a little
bit. You're picking up
on
all of it.
Yeah.
See, that's him walking around town talking to people.
Sure.
Well, I have heard of the Bel Air. Obviously not made anymore for a long, long time.
No.
Did you restore the original paint, or did you do your own paint job when you got it fixed up, Ed?
When I first got it, it had just been painted. I didn't have to do nothing there. I had some touch-up I needed done. It was a local shop around here that helped me out, a good friend of mine. But for the most part, the car had just been repainted. It was from a retired gentleman. And it just basically needed put to get back together. He had started it, and so it took about a year. I got it all together.
Now, Dave Landis is another Chevrolet guy, right, Dave?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What's your pride and joy?
I have a 68 Camaro Rally Sport.
Camaro, okay.
Yes, sir.
That came along a little bit later than the Bel Air.
Right.
Was that the first muscle car that Chevrolet made?
Going to say that was the first one, along with the Firebird which is the same stamping.
That was
basically
the Buick, right?
No, Pontiac.
Oh, Pontiac. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So the whole muscle car phenomenon probably was started with the Mustang, right?
Well, it was supposedly did. Yeah, that was the first one, and then a lot of all the U.S. manufacturers jumped on board real quick because they wanted to compete with it. You had the Corvette, you had the Mustang. And then you had like the Firebird, the Barracuda, a lot of those come out, the Malibu, the Super Sport, Chevy Super Sport. A whole lot of them followed suit after that and started that whole maze of 60s cruise cars, high-end, high-performance machines.
Right.
It was really quite an era.
Are any of them still manufactured other than the Mustang?
Well, the Corvette is still manufactured, and
the Camaro,
the Chevy Camaro. You see that one on Hawaii 5-0 all the time. I marvel at that thing.
They had Camaros. Yeah. See, I would put a Corvette in another class because that was so expensive. You know, that was I realize
some of the other ones are right up there with them now.
Right.
Well, now, but,
now, yeah, but back
in the day,
they were up by themselves.
Kind of a luxury car.
Absolutely,
you know?
Right.
Yeah. Whereas a Mustang today, if you could have got a Mustang, one of the original Mustangs, you'd be. That'd be worth a fortune, wouldn't
They're
it?
They're pretty nice. Yeah.
64 and a half was the first year.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. 64 and a half?
Right.
Was the first year for
them? Was the first of them. They put mid-year production is what they called that at the time.
Well, back in those days, all of the major manufacturers introduced their new cars in September.
You could hardly wait to see what the new ones looked like
with the paper
coming out.
Up in the wall. Yes, the glass.
On
so
the
you
glass.
Couldn't see in.
You couldn't see
you
in.
Couldn't see what was what.
The mm-hmm. showrooms to see what they were, what they looked like, and all that stuff.
So
now Ford, you can't tell them apart anymore.
Right. They're all plastic, too.
It's true.
So Ford broke with tradition by making a 64 and a half?
Well, they wanted to get it out earlier, but the production wasn't ready, and they got it out by 64 and a half, and it just took off like wildfire.
Yeah.
A lot of those cars were sold. A lot of them. And then all the other ones, you know, from GM and so on, they followed suit real quick and wanted to be in competition for that quote-unquote supercar, super sport car, you know, the real sporty car to have and all mm-hmm. that stuff. And it did good for the automobile industry in this country. It really did. Yeah.
What about yours, Dave? Where'd you pick up your
I bought out? Mine down in Morris from a guy that was – I went to pick to look at a 30 Ford coupe. Walked in. It was a regular Ford coupe. I saw this Camaro sitting in the back. It was up on jack stand. They were going to tub it, which means cut the rear wheel houses out, put a different size rear end in. But the wheels on a Camaro, they don't dip down far enough that they would drag on the wheel houses. So, you know, I ended up buying that. Had a 427 and a 4-speed in it, and it was in pieces. Different things that were done.
So you had a heck of a lot of work to do?
Oh, yes.
What about the body in these older cars?
Well, it's a unibody. Everything's connected now on the frame rails. It's got all new suspension under the rear.
What does unibody mean anyway?
It has front and rear suspension, which is separate.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes across, Mustangs have the same thing when they first came out as far as unibody. They have no connection in them, so the body would flex up and down. When you weld the other piece in to connect the two unibodies, it stiffens it up, takes the flex out of it. Is what different, you know, that's the full frame as compared to the unibody. You want the full frame in that. All the manufacturers do that now, you know, for the older muscle cars that are available.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one frame.
What about brakes? Back in those days, had disc brakes been invented yet?
On the Corvette, some of them had them, especially the road race cars. And most of the cars have drum brakes. Instead of using steel drums on some of them, sometimes they put aluminum ones on. They were all right for a while, but once they become overheated, you get a thumping in them. Same way with the rotors that you do with the disc brakes now, mm-hmm. some do.
Well, that was my learning experience with my dad. It wasn't putting oil in the car. I figured out how to do that. But I did watch him change the brake shoes.
Okay.
Once.
Yes.
Which was quite a job, but because I guess if you have a vehicle that still has them, it's the same thing. Not only did you need to put the new shoes on, but you had to bleed the brake system.
Remember? Right, the brake lining.
Right, yeah. Terminology
right.
for
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you've got it.
Right.
Yeah. Sure, you had to do that so that you would make sure you had brake.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Make sure there isn't any air bleed in the system or something like that?
Yep. That's correct.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Well, I saw my dad do that.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I could still do it today or not, but I...
Well, you probably could.
Well, I don't think
put
so.
Put to the task, you might be able to. You never know.
I don't know. What about your Mustang, Dan?
The one I have now is a 66 coupe Mustang.
You had an earlier one?
I've owned a couple of them earlier. I owned a 64 Mustang or a 65 Mustang once to a convertible, and I regret the day I got rid of that one. I wished I would have kept it. But I have a 66 Mustang coupe now, and I have another one I bought here just this past year, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it. It's a 2005. Mustang High Performance Premium GT convertible.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a nice car, but I'm not sure how long I want to hang on to that one. I still like the old 66 Mustang a lot.
Mustang made a four-door model as well?
Not that I'm aware of.
No. You said coupe, I thought that was...
No, it's a Mustang coupe. It was made in San Jose, California. It was the only place they made them. It had a vinyl roof, and it's a coupe package inside, front bucket seats, and then a small rear seat in them.
What do you do when you need parts for cars like this?
It's easy. It'll tell you. He can tell you a lot. He's got one he stripped down and working
they
on
actually
right now.
They make reproduction parts now for a lot of these cars and trucks that you can get from local areas, all at California you can get parts out of. There's a bunch of books that you can buy out of now. You can get body parts.
Even for a 56 Bel Air like you have?
My truck, if that 56 truck, you can buy brand new reproduction parts for that truck right now. If I wanted to put it, leave it all original. And even like my Bel Air, there's reproduction parts on that too.
Do you ever have to manufacture parts yourself, Dave Landis, or you know, sheet metal or something?
Well, that can be done. The most of them, the people that were doing this, had dies that they got from the manufacturer. The dies were saved, and they stamped the parts on them, and they built them, and they never let them go because they knew that there was going to be a call for that coming back and forth. But sometimes you have to make your own parts when you put a bigger engine in it, or you know, when you have to reroute power steering boxes or something. And the frame to make it.
Don't I know that?
He's doing a little rerouting on that truck right now.
Customizing the truck. I had an old inline six cylinder in it, V6 in it, and I swapped it out for a small block Chevy. So it had to have like custom motor mounts, transmission mounts, steering boxes were all custom to put in this truck.
My goodness, you need an engineering degree, I think, to do some of this work, huh?
You know, there's some people out there that really do a fine job at this kind of work. They really do.
I can imagine.
And they're local, too.
I need to take a quick break here before we wrap up. I want to go over the details of Cruisapalooza. Folks, it's this Sunday, this coming Sunday. So we'll give you the details again here in just a moment. Be right back.
Spend your Sunday afternoon with the Pirates on June 23rd for a kids' day when the Bucks take on the San Diego Padres. Be sure to come to the North Shore early for fun and games on Federal Street. Plus, all kids 14 and younger take home a replica Josh Bell jersey, thanks to Chevrolet. Then, after the game, kids can come down to the field and run the bases, just like Josh Bell. That's all thanks to Rivendell. For more info, go to pirates.com/kidsdays.
Planning ahead is simple. Planning at the last minute is hard and emotionally frustrating. And planning a funeral at the last minute during an anguishing time of your life is an unnecessary personal burden. Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler suggests that you pre-plan the funeral. Make all the choices now while you're still emotionally stable. The funeral service, the choice of caskets, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation, visitations, flowers, church service or not, all of these decisions must be made. Make them now before the emotions set in. Pre-plan with Thompson Miller. Think about it. Then call us to meet with you and to discuss it privately. Call 724-287-3706. 287-3706. Pre-arrangement. It really makes sense. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller. Time-honored excellence.
Welcome back, good friends. Always fun to talk about cars. You'll have a wonderful opportunity to do it with a lot of folks who I have there. Their vehicles, their restored vehicles downtown for a Cruisapalooza. Dan Cunningham, details again this coming Sunday.
This coming Sunday from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. downtown Main Street. Bring your cars, bring your families. There's going to be all types of entertainment, Chinese auctions, 50-50 T-shirts. And we have a walking, roving Elvis impersonator that's going to be down there spending some time on different corners.
Get out.
Providing entertainment on the move.
Wow.
Yeah. And the rumors are he's pretty good.
They said he's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, so we'll see. But lots going on. Lots of food, lots of entertainment. Should be a great day downtown Butler.
And, of course, there's no admission price for this.
Nothing.
Dash
plaques for the cars that come in. You know, we make a new dash plaque every year for these Cruisapaloozas. But this is a special 25th anniversary.
Yeah, all sponsored by the Rod Fathers and 25th year. For a Cruisapalooza, Main Street, downtown Butler, this coming Sunday. Guys, it's good to talk with you. It's good
you
to
too,
have
Dave.
You all here.
Thank you for having us.
Yep.
Dan Cunningham, Ed Schnorr, and Dave Landis visiting with us here today. We thank our earlier guests as well, chatting with John Righetti, the Director of Development for the Gene Purvis Community Health Center, and Nick Neupower, Dr. Neupower, President of Butler County Community College, who will be the recipient of the Community Cornerstone Award at a dinner this coming Friday night. So thanks for being with us today. No Pirate baseball tonight on WISR. The Pirates get a day off after taking 2 out of 3 in Miami over the weekend. But we will be back with Pirate baseball tomorrow night as the Bucks begin a homestand against the Detroit Tigers, American League team.
I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow, 12:30, for the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Baby, no, no, no.